Crossroads. We are here right now with my new friends from Louisville, Kentucky. Yes. I was told not to say Louisville, not to say Louisville, but say it like you're gonna throw up. Louisville is how the natives say it here, and I'm so excited that we get to spend some time today in one of our Crossroads communities around the country. And I just wanna say thank you to Tish and Rich Sandman, who are graciously opening up their home to us. Can you give us a little wave over here? Yes. We're so glad that you have graciously opened up your home so that we could spend some time in it. And so the rest of our church can see a beautiful, thriving community, a church that's being started and happening in Louisville, Kentucky because of faithful people like many of you around this room. So thank you for that. So today, we're going to talk about unlocking your purpose, the surprise to unlocking your purpose. And I don't think that it is what you might think it is. I guess that's what a surprise is, right? So as we talk about this, you know, I was talking to God about, like, what is it? Like, how did I find my purpose? And so there are two words that I think will unlock anybody's purpose. Anybody's purpose. And I'll tell you, I was a little bit unsure about this. I was sitting at a local establishment having a beverage with my computer open, trying to figure out what God wanted me to say this weekend. And in the midst of that, I felt like He dropped these two words into my brain. I went, God, is this really what you want me to say? And I looked up and ESPN Around the Horn was on the screen. Woody Page had a blackboard that said, I have two words for you. Two words. And I went, okay, I think that's God speaking to me through Woody Page on ESPN. Who says God won't use ESPN to talk to you? You just have to listen to what He might be saying to you. And so before I get into that, let's pray. God, I thank you for this time that we get to spend together. I thank you that we are part of a big, thriving, bold community around the country. And I just pray that you would use my words right now to speak to someone in the seat that they're in, whether they're in their living room or a coffee shop or a clubhouse or a theater or this very home in Louisville, Kentucky, Lord. I just ask that you would be glorified in all that I have to say and that you would motivate us today to do something different. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. I should also say that as we're in this house in Louisville, you may hear some noises because this is a home. So we've got babies and dogs and old people and young people. And so that is what's going to happen today when we're in. I'm not looking at you guys, you know. I love you. Anyway, so you may hear some noises because this is the beauty of being part of the church in a home. And so just thought I would say that. Forgot that. So two words to unlock your purpose. I believe that every single one of us can unlock our purpose if we build church. If we build church. And I don't mean build a church, the church, a building. There's lots of things that might be swirling in your head. You might actually even be thinking like, build, I'm not a builder. I wouldn't have said I was a builder either. I think like the biggest thing that I built was candles. I'm like, again, classic millennial. I went through a stage that I would cut wine bottles and make organic, repurposed, soy-based essential oil candles. How many other buzzwords can I get in there? I sold them on Etsy. You know, someone's pointing at you. Did you do that? Something like that. Okay. That's about like the biggest tangible thing I think I've built. And yet, there's an opportunity for all of us to build church. And I don't necessarily mean that your purpose is to build church, but I 100% believe that God has a purpose for you that you will discover in the midst of building church. You may have been hoping that the answer to surprise answer to unlock your purpose was a little sexier, a little more fun, a little more out there. But I really believe that this might be the most fun, most aggressive, most difficult, most rewarding, fulfilling way to figure out what you were made to do, to figure out who you were made to be. And so here's how I kind of got here. You know, we were all made in the image of God. According to Genesis 1:27, we were made to be like God. And if we were made to be like God, that means that we were made to have a purpose like God's purpose. And God's purpose is the church. Therefore, if you want to find your purpose, you've got to be part of the church. And so I'm not talking about the building or maybe that place that your grandma used to play organ in or the place that your cousin spends every Wednesday night in. That could be a great church, but that doesn't have to be the only definition of church. When my dad told me that he didn't want me going to Crossroads and he wanted me to figure out who Jesus was to me and build my own faith, you know, I went through a season where I didn't do anything, and that was the detrimental part where I didn't know who I was, I didn't know what I believed, I didn't know what God created me for, if he created me at all, and I had to go on a search for that. And once I established, yes, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to this broken world so that I could have life 2,000 years later, that he actually died a blameless and perfect death. He lived a blameless and perfect life and died an unjust death so that I didn't have to die right away when I was born. Man, that is powerful. And when I grasped that and actually believed that, not just with my head, not just with my heart, but with how I acted and who I was in relationship with and what I did with my finances and how I spent my time, everything submitted to that belief. And so I had this deep desire that I just wanted my friends to know Jesus. I just wanted my friends to get it. My roommates and my classmates and my professors, my coaches, I wanted them to have the freedom and the truth that I had. And so my friends and I, we just started gathering together and we started trying some things and we started what I could articulate now, building church in our home and then a campus building and then a rented facility. And we'd move locations because it was never about the location. It was always about the people. And in the midst of that, man, I tried things and I failed at things. I took on different roles. I had to wear different hats. I got to experience brand new things that I had never experienced that lit something up in me and gave me a passion and a fire for things I didn't know I had a passion and a fire for. I failed at things, made me realize that's not my purpose, like that's not where I'm going, because I actually got to try things and fail in a safe environment, in an environment where it only built me up to be stronger, where ultimately I got to unlock this special purpose where I now know what God has made me for, what he's designed me for. I have friends and family on all new levels because of this, and that's what I deeply desire for you. And I believe God has that for every single one of us. But we've got to decide if we want to put in the work. And so there's two words to this, build and church. Let's start with church for a minute because I don't want us to get hung up. And if you are watching right now and you're going, okay, this doesn't apply to me. Like, I don't care about the church. I don't want to build anything. I would just say to you, wait. Do not turn this off. Don't hit pause. Don't leave and go do something else because this could be the very, very difference between you living a fulfilled and joyful life and you living lonely and unfulfilled. And I truly, truly believe that. So let's spend some time figuring out what is the church and what is it not. The church is not a building, but the church has always been and will always be people. The church is not a building. It has always been and will always be people. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." God is with you regardless of what space you're in. If you're in a living room like this one, if you're in a beautiful building, if you are in a coffee shop or a bar or a clubhouse or a theater, I'm looking at you, Chattanooga and Columbus. God is with you wherever you might be if there is more than one of you gathered. That is a beautiful, beautiful, freeing thing as we think about what does it mean to build church? Well, it means that you get together with people. You get together with people. So I have a new friend. Her name is Amanda, and she found church. She didn't just find church, but she's currently building church right where she is in Louisville, and it's been pretty impactful on her life. So I want to introduce you to my friend Amanda. Amanda, would you come on up here with me? Yes, this is Amanda. Yes, Amanda, you have a pretty sweet story of getting to experience the church in a way that you didn't expect to, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that. How have you experienced church through people?
You know, as a single woman living in a city where I had no previous friends, I don't have any family here. You know, like there are life seasons and storms and stuff that we're all gonna go through. And they've been the people that have kind of been my safety net. They've been people who have sat in waiting rooms with me. Mm. They've been people who have let me come and crash at their house on a night that I just couldn't be alone. Mm. And they've been people to go on adventures with. And they've just prayed with me through, oh my gosh, just through so many different moments of being confused. And being just hoping that like I was finding my purpose or that I wasn't getting too far away from it. And they've just been such an anchor in my time here. Mm. Yeah.
There are lots of people watching at home right now who might be by themselves feeling like you have felt, feeling lonely or stressed out or anxious or depressed or any of the above things. What would you say to those people to... What would you say to those people to really help them believe in the value of church and in the value of gathering with other people?
I would say first that if there's any hesitation at all to trying to leave your house and meet people that are right now strangers, like that's a lie. That's just fear. And nothing is ever as uncomfortable as you could make it in your mind. I would always say that maybe that first initial like time going to somebody's apartment who's a total stranger and sitting on their couch and watching a TV together, that is weird. That is scary. But once you're in it, it's really not. And every moment after that, every Sunday that you go back there or every, you know, happy hour that the group tries to throw to meet new people, like, it's easier. It gets easier and easier, and it gets to a point where you don't even remember a time when you didn't know those people. I can't even list the number of adventures and fun and just hope inspired in me just because I went to meet Lori.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah. Amanda, thank you so much for sharing your story and just sharing with us what God's done in your heart and around fears that you had. There are lots and lots of people around the country who are starting in a place that you were in 3 years ago. And so it's beautiful to see that there is hope and that, man, meeting people who are part of your church in your city that you might not know yet, it's powerful and it's important and it's really good. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, what you heard from Amanda was not that she has some shallow relationships, but that she has authentic friendship with unexpected people, because there was a group of people in Louisville 3 years ago who said, we want the church here, and so we're gonna build it. And in the midst of that, there have been people who have come to Jesus, ones who have been freed, ones who are experiencing a new life and a new hope and fun in a way that they hadn't been before. And Amanda is one of them. And what's happening here in Louisville is happening in other cities around the country too, in our midst here at Crossroads. And you know, it's all just a picture of exactly what the very first church ever was doing. The very first church, Jesus' first followers, he had left earth and gone, okay, now you go be the church. And this is what he instructed them to do. And this is what they did on a day in and day out basis. Let me read it to you. Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone is filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the church. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions, to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this is what people right now are doing. They're acting like the church. They're building church the way that the early followers of Jesus did in Chattanooga, in Columbus, in Cleveland, in Canton, in Louisville, in Batesville. And just this week, I had conversations, well, in the last 2 weeks, I've had conversations with people in Charlotte, in LA, in Ann Arbor, in Canton, who want to get this started, want to build church with other people around them. And I know there are more of you sitting at home, sitting in clubhouses, sitting in coffee shops right now that want to build church. You just don't know how yet, but you want people. Because either you're lonely or you see the lonely people around you and you know what Jesus can do when he breaks in and brings people together. Growing up, I was always the kid that wanted to connect all my friends to each other. I'm still that way. Like, I wanted my tennis friends to know my church friends, and my church friends to know my school friends to know my neighborhood friends. And then when I went to college, one of my high school friends to know my college friends to know my church friends. And I still do this. All the time. I'm always about connecting different groups of people because there is so much good to be had, so much to happen when you connect people to each other because you don't know who might be lonely around you. You might be lonely and just be scared to say it. But the church is always about people, and the church will always be about people because that's how Jesus intended it to be. So not only is the church about people, but the church is not only for the super spiritual. That's something that we often think. Well, if I'm going to be in the church, I need to be like up here, you know, super spiritual. And no, the church is for all people because everyone has a role in the church. We all have a role in the church. Man, when you start practicing different roles and figuring out what your fit might be, oh man, that is where you unlock that surprise purpose. That is where you unlock what you were made to do. And this is also the way that Jesus always intended it to be. In Ephesians 4, it says this about the roles in the church. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. See, we all have been given a gift. If we've received Jesus and we've said, yes, I want to follow him with my life, and we have the Holy Spirit, you have an amazing gift inside of you that maybe has been there since the time you were little and was never unlocked for the church. So let me put these in some quick, easy terms. Apostles, man, if you're an apostle, it means you are always about going after the new thing. Oftentimes, this is entrepreneurs in our culture. They're ones who want to do the new, go to the new place, take the people with them to the new place. That's an apostle. A prophet, man, you've got a direct line to God. Sometimes you know things, you don't know how you know them. You're like, man, I just had a dream about that, or I thought that before you said that, or like, I had a feeling that this was gonna happen and now it's happened. Prophets, direct line to God. Evangelists, you want everybody to know the good things. All the good things that you experience, you want everybody to know about them. I took this quiz called Fivefold Ministry Survey. You can go to fivefoldministry.com. And this is a great way to figure out like, which of these gifts might I have? And it came back a couple years ago that I was an evangelist before I was about building the church. I went, I'm not an evangelist. Like, I don't stand on the corner and yell about Jesus. That's what I thought an evangelist was. Silly me. And when I read and started to talk to people about what does it actually mean, and when I understood and believed it meant to be someone who always wanted other people to know about the good things, Man, if I got an email about a Kate Spade sale, I was for sure forwarding that email to all of my friends. If I ate an amazing meal at a new restaurant, I made sure everybody who had a special occasion coming up knew about that restaurant because I wanted them to try it. If I saw a bomb movie, I told everybody about it and made sure they got to the movie theater. I was an evangelist since the time I was little. I just didn't ever tell people about Jesus. I told them about sales and movies. And so you might be an evangelist and you didn't even know that God's given you that gift, and it just has to be unlocked in the church. Another gift is pastors. Man, pastors are the ones, the shoulders you want to cry on, the one you want to go to for advice, the one who just is a great listener and always gives you great advice. The one who makes you feel cared for and loved. A lot of moms have to exercise their pastoral giftings, whether that is who you are at your core or what's needed in the moment. Man, you might be a pastor and not even know it. And lastly, teachers. I had a friend who, she was like, man, I'm a teacher. I took this quiz and everybody's telling me the gift that God's giving me is that I'm a teacher, but all I ever do is teach Zumba. I probably should get to teaching some other things. Maybe you're like actually a teacher of something in education or something in fitness, but God's given you a gift to learn and receive and be able to teach it in an easily understandable, easily accessible way to the people around you. He's given us all a role in the church. We just have to test out some things to figure what it is. Figure out what it is. And it might just be your purpose. Because we all have a role when we start building church together. For me, the way that it looked to start building church was I just started having my friends into my living room to pray together Monday mornings. We were like, well, I'm going to pray anyway, so why don't I just invite you in to pray with me, because maybe God will do some pretty sweet things in the midst of this prayer time. And what do you know? Like, we prayed for someone to get a job, and they got 10 job offers that week. 10, I'm not kidding. 10, I have to say that like 10 times because it's such a big deal. We prayed for a girl who lived a few blocks over to get healed of cancer. And she was healed of cancer. We started to pray together and practice these things that Jesus gives us to do as the church. And amazing, amazing things happened. I got to test out different roles as a prophet and pastor and evangelist and try some of these different things to figure out what fit and what came naturally and what was really difficult. The other misconception that we have about the church is that it's boring. I mean, right, how many of us have just thought like, church, boring, not my thing. I'm sure at some point in your life, you probably thought that, when in reality, the church was always meant to be and always is powerful and full of wonder. Powerful and full of wonder. One of my very favorite pieces of scripture that over the last probably 18 months I've held on to really tightly comes from Ephesians. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, which says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Man, this is one of my favorite pieces of truth, because don't we all want to be part of something where if we ask God for it, he's going to do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine. And he's going to do it so that he gets glory through the church, so that he gets glory through you, through me, through us. And so we've got to be asking God for more power. We've got to be asking God to do unthinkable, immeasurable things in our families, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, with our friends, with our classmates, with our workmates. I mean, he will and he can do immeasurably more than we think or than we can imagine. And that's powerful. And it leaves us with this sense of awe and wonder when he does it. 5 years ago, I was part of starting Crossroads Uptown, like I've mentioned. And when we realized, man, we've moved from being Lena's friends to Crossroads UC, to Crossroads Clifton, to Crossroads Uptown, because the vision kept expanding. We kept getting more and more intentional, and people were being added to our number daily, the way that that scripture says, because we were practicing the things of prayer and worship and gathering together to eat and gathering together to pray and gathering together to bring our friends into deeper friendship so that no one was lonely. In the midst of that, we were praying for crazy things. Like, we had this dream of this old church. We were gonna turn back into a church building that we as the people, the church, could meet in. And so we were doing these prayer walks, walking around praying for it, praying for the people that might enter that building someday, praying for what God might do in the neighborhood surrounding. We were asking for healings. We were asking for jobs. We were asking for free money. Seriously, free money. That's what we asked for. Like, we were walking this building going, okay, we can't pay for this, but God, like, if you want to give it to us, we would gladly take it. Like, please. And I'm not kidding you. 6 months later, we got $2.3 million in free money for that building. $2.3 million from the government, which makes no sense, for us to rehab this old building so that we had a spiritual home and a home base for our church in that part of Cincinnati. God will do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine, because there's power in the church. Because the church are just representatives of Jesus, who is all powerful and full of wonder. So I had a few friends that were part of building church in our little part of the city, and they have a pretty cool story of what this looked like for them and what this has meant for them and for the future generations coming after them. Check this out.
So Mike and Julie Amon, about 2 years ago, decided to purchase a house in Uptown, and they started the running group literally the day after they moved in.
I vividly remember, like, my sophomore year of college, like, not feeling like I had deep community. Like, I was like, where am I gonna make friends? Like, not at a bar, like, not going out on a Friday night. I'm not gonna make, like, deep friendships doing that. And we did not know each other at that time, but we both showed up on a Saturday morning. It was awesome. There were, like, 30 people here.
And so we did this for 12 weeks.
We met every Saturday morning up until the Flying Pig.
Race day came and we, all of us, crossed the finish line. And I remember personally feeling tons of emotion watching my friends cross the finish line. And for whatever reason, found myself in tears at the end of the race cheering them on.
None of us really knew each other 4 months ahead of time. And now we're, like, getting emotional watching each other, like, accomplish this thing. It became so much more than the activity of running. It became, like, true community really naturally.
And you're around each other and you're sweaty and you're smelly and you really get to be vulnerable with each other. And so through that experience, there was a depth of relationship that we experienced.
After the race is over, like, we all just kept hanging out, all the people from our group. Like, we're not training for anything anymore, but we love spending time together.
Which ultimately led us to meeting on Wednesday nights where we do dinner together. And so it turned into our community. It turned into the people that when we had problems, we would go to. And
yeah,
when we had successes, we would celebrate with. The Amons were really like our mom and dad. And they invited us in and created a place where we were able to create, like, really safe community. To see their commitment to each other and to see that the way that they love their kids and to see the way they serve each other has been just a really good example for us to try to learn from. We value them as an example, but we also value them as, like, a part of our family too. It's just given us a sense of belonging, and I have found a safe place and people who genuinely want to invest in us. And I know that I'm a better man because of the people that our running group and our Wednesday night group have put in our lives. I was single and didn't really have a vision for family, didn't have a vision for marriage. Knew that someday I wanted to do those things, but had no clue how to get there. We had people that definitely challenged me and held me accountable to things and got to a place where I started thinking, like, whoa, this is sooner rather than later.
And so we started dating, like, 2 months later, and now fast forward, we are getting married in 2 months at Crossroads Uptown. I definitely didn't see that coming out of a running group.
We're doing our rehearsal dinner here at the Amond because this is where we met. A lot of our community that we met 2 years ago are going to be around the table that night, so it is so symbolic of who we are and what we want to be where we're going. And like every single guy's dream who goes to church found a girl at church. but it wasn't in a building, it was in a community group.
Man, how beautiful is that? They are some of my very favorite people because we were in the trenches together building church. And in the midst of it, man, we all got a greater and deeper understanding of the purpose that God has for each of our lives. And I want that for you. I deeply, deeply desire that for you. And I believe God has it for you. Now, this second word, build, you know, you might be in a place where you're going, okay, I think that I'm down with the church thing. I think I can be the church. I don't know if I'm ready to build it. Let me tell you, that's how I felt about All House Things before I started watching Fixer Upper. Anybody else? Chip and Joanna Gaines? Yes. Okay. Chip and Joanna Gaines, great binge-worthy TV on a Sunday afternoon if you're not watching football, because let's be real, we watch everything on demand now anyways. But nonetheless, I never thought I could do anything in my house until I watched them and I saw a picture of this beautiful home and it looks so easy and always sounds so cheap. Like, how do they make it that cheap? I don't know. But nevertheless, I actually believed I could do something that I never thought I could do before because I had a picture of it and a website that taught me how to do it. And I actually started to be in it enough, watch it enough that I go like, I know that's a really big thing and a lofty, and that's probably difficult, but I think I could do that. Like, we all can do it. That is also true about the church. You need to see it. You need to be around it. You need to get in the website of how do I do this? You need to talk to other people who are doing it well, and you can do it, and we will help you do it. Man, building the church was never meant to happen alone. Because in reality, the one who builds the church ultimately is God. From the very beginning, he's the one that builds the church. He says to Peter, in Matthew 16, 18, says, "You are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church." God will always use his people as the foundation for his church. But later on in scripture, it also says that we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and you are God's building. And so God builds the church and he invites us in to do it with him, alongside of him. And so the question for us is, are we gonna do it? Like, that's all we have to answer is yes or no. Do I wanna do the hard work of building church, of getting with people and practicing praying together, practicing getting to know each other, eating with one another, inviting our friends in who don't know each other and might not even know Jesus yet? Are we gonna get with people? Are we going to practice different roles in the church? Are we gonna try on some different hats, take on some different leadership responsibilities to figure out what God might have made you for? And are you gonna ask him? You're gonna ask him for infinitely more than you could ever imagine in your life, in your friends' lives, in your family's life, in your community's life, in your city's lives. The work of building the church is something that we're invited into alongside of God so that he gets glorified and so that you become the person that he always made you to be, so that you could have a deep and powerful purpose and live it out every day, all day. All of your decisions, all of your relationships, all of your finances, all of the work that you do would submit to the greater purpose that God has for your life. If you want to keep wallowing in loneliness and unfulfillment, you're welcome to do that. If you're like, man, no, this sounds like too much work, I'm good where I am, totally your choice. But I will tell you, if you want to be fulfilled and you want people, You want people who you can call at 2 a.m. when your car has broken down in the rain to come pick you up. You want people who will take you to the ER when your kids are sick and your wife's in bed and your hand is falling apart because of some tool you messed up with. You can have it. If you want people who will stand beside you on your wedding day and not just stand beside you to look good in pictures, but who will fight for your marriage when you think about leaving, the place that you are going to get that kind of friendship, the place where you are going to be all that God made you to be, is in the church. It's in the church. And so you've got to decide what you want to do with that. Are you going to build it? Or are you going to sit where you are? And to build it, man, 3 easy, simple ways to do that. 1, get with people. I'll make it even clearer. Pick 1 dinner a week that you're going to intentionally get with other people to deepen your friendship and to invite new people into. 1 meal a week. 2, you need to practice some roles. You need to figure out what the gifts are that God's given you to use in the church. Best way to do that, man, host a watch party, start a small group. And when you host a watch party, you start a small group, someone's gonna need to send out the invites. Someone's gonna need to welcome everybody from the front. Someone's gonna need to make sure the house looks and feels good. Someone's going to need to follow up in those conversations. Someone's going to need to be praying for all of the people before they walk in, while they're there, and after they walk out. There's an opportunity for all kinds of roles in the midst of a group and the midst of a watch party. Test some roles that way. And 3, start asking God for big, bold things, because he will do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or ever imagine, so that he gets the glory in the church. Have a regular time of prayer where you're asking God for big, bold things for your friends who don't know Jesus yet. Ask him to heal you of your depression and your loneliness. Ask him to bring friends around you who you get the opportunity to share hope with. Ask him to sell your house fast. Ask him to give you a raise. Ask him for free money for the thing that you need and you want. You can ask him for all kinds of things, but you've got to ask. That's where he does the immeasurably more than you could ever imagine. Get with people, intentional meal. Test out different roles in a watch party or a small group, and start asking God for big things in the midst of prayer. If you do those 3 things, man, you are in the starts of building church. And more than that, I can guarantee God will unlock in you some purpose you didn't know that you had. Some purpose that actually might change the world. Let's pray. God, I thank you that we get to be your church. I thank you that you invite us to build church with you. I thank you that you do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. And so God, I just pray that you would begin unlocking in each of us all kinds of new ideas, new friendships, and great, great purpose. Lord, I ask that you would build up your church for your glory, beginning today and forevermore. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Well, hey, if you want help with any of this stuff, we have a team of people that wants to help you. We're the Chip and Joanna Gaines of building churches, okay? And we would love to give you resources and training and friendship and relationship and point you to the websites and the books and the weekly calls and all of the things to help you build the church right where you are. And so you can email anywhere@crossroads.net to get connected with someone from our Crossroads Anywhere team to help you get started in this. Man, we would love to pray with you right now. And so if you want prayer for this, just go to crossroads.net and chat on the box click the chat box. We would love to pray for you right now in this moment. And if you're going, this is great, but I just need to start by meeting some people, we've got all kinds of groups that are already running and some brand new online groups. If you are far away from anybody else right around you in the church, man, we would love to meet you online. And so you can go to crossroads.net/groups to find out what might be meeting near you or how you might get plugged in that way. And we hope to see you next week, same time, same place. Go build church.